Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day. A reading from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 3 and 7 through 15. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall become clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." Here ends our reading. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, our lesson for this week about the Lord healing Naaman through the prophet Elisha is fascinating on many levels. Naaman was a top warrior and general for the nation of Aram, which is now modern-day Syria. Back in those days, the strength and skill of your top warriors was paramount for the safety of the state against foreign enemies. Unlike today, when superior technology and our drones, jets, and missiles gives our military the upper hand in global affairs, in ancient times the strength and health of a nation's warriors alone made for the safety or the vulnerability of the state. Thus, when Naaman, Aram's top warrior, contracted leprosy, the whole nation was weakened along with him. I've been pondering this week how Naaman's leprosy parallels the wounds of war that our modern soldiers carry with them. Post-traumatic stress disorder and other mental maladies of war are internal wounds that many of our men and women carry home from combat. Like leprosy, it cuts them off from those they love, making it hard to hold down jobs, keep their marriages together, and even be part of churches and other organizations. While leprosy is highly contagious and forces its victims to be quarantined away from community, many of the wounds our soldiers today carry back with them cut them off from the community in different ways. We should recognize that many of our veterans can identify with Naaman's ancient illness in new ways, for they know what it is to be cut down by ailments too, even if the rest of us cannot see them. Aram, Naaman's country, seems to have had the upper hand over Israel. Verse 2 of our first lesson talks about how they had raided into Israel and taken a young Israelite girl captive and enslaved her. Likewise, when the Aramean king sent gold in a letter to the king of Israel, ordering that he heal Naaman, the king of Israel tore his clothes in despair because he knew that he could not provide the necessary miracle for him. So he feared retribution from the superior forces of the neighboring nation. This means that Naaman was not just a foreigner. He was an enemy, and a powerful one at that. If the top generals of North Korea, Iran, or Russia, longtime enemies of the United States, sent their top generals to us for high-level health care, I think at least some of us might question if we should actually heal them or not. At the very least, some of us might think it's a good idea to put them in prison instead of simply healing them so they could go back and attack us down the road. There was a lot at stake for the king of Israel in receiving this request from his neighboring, more powerful enemy. Yet the kings and their warriors in this story were profoundly subverted by the will of God being enacted through slaves and prophets by humble means. Our lesson for this week skips over the middle verses of the passage, which say, Naaman went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. Not only was Naaman powerful on account of his military strength, he also had the power of the treasury behind him. He was doing what many rich and powerful people do still today, trying to buy everything he needed, even though it seemed impossible. This is ironic, because he learned about the prophet Elisha from a humble slave girl whom he owned and who served his wife. I'm sure that he did not pay her a finder's fee for recommending he seek out the prophet in Israel. His trust in his wealth was proved even more faulty then, because when he did arrive at Elisha's house, Elisha did not even come out to get paid. All the money in the world was not enough to pay for Naaman's healing. The Lord is not persuaded by money. Instead, the prophet was moved to heal Naaman for God's own purposes in God's own way. Rolf Jacobson, professor at Luther Seminary in Minneapolis, captured what happened in the text through the role of the slaves and the humble prophet very well, saying, "Only the lowly and the godly can see how God works. The young, enslaved girl can see. The general's slaves can see. The prophet can see. In the other texts, the widow, the orphan, the sojourner can see. The crucified one, above all, knows and embodies the way God works." The text goes on to offer a fascinatingly relatable scene when it came to Naaman's miraculous healing. Elisha laid out a very simple cure for Naaman's leprosy, simply washing in the Jordan River. But Naaman could not accept the Lord's miraculous healing because it was too easy. The text says that Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean." But at this, Naaman became angry and went away saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and he would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy." Turned and went away in a rage. Then his servants approached him and said, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was wash and be clean?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Wash and be clean. Such a simple command. Yet it was a command that Naaman could not understand because he was blinded by his wealth and power. He thought that if this Elisha was truly a prophet of the Lord, then he would at least come out and show respect and deference to a man of name and stature and power. And because he knew how things work among the rich and the powerful, he assumed that his healing, something of great value to him, had to be earned. He expected that he would have to do something difficult, like climb a mountain in the middle of the midday sun or have a big ceremony and ritual of healing. After all, Naaman dealt directly with kings and queens, nobles and generals, and this is how they did things. Surely Elisha's God would expect something similar. But God does not favor our wealth, love the powerful more than the lowly, or need our good works in order to save us. Wash and be clean. God saves because that is simply who God is. Wash and be clean. The baptismal waters of the Jordan, where John would one day consecrate the Son of God. Naaman washed 7 times and was healed of his leprosy by the grace of God. Wash and be clean. A simple command that is too humble for kings, queens, and noble warriors to understand, but is a message that is easily understood by the poor and the lowly. Wash and be clean. Nothing more was commanded of Naaman, and nothing more is commanded of us. Through the centuries, Christians have tried to complicate the faith in many and various ways. Popes, cardinals, and bishops have written laws and convened councils that have clouded the faith. Pious Christians of various backgrounds have demanded ultra-high and arbitrary standards of holiness before, or so they teach, God will love and forgive the sinner. That our own guilty consciences keep us from trusting in the age-old promises that are given to us in our baptisms. We are children of God forever. But here it is, plain and simple. Wash and be clean. Nothing more, nothing less. If we are washed in the waters of God's mercy, then like Naaman's leprosy, we will be made clean from our sin forever and ever. We will be made whole. Wash and be clean, my friends. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I hope that you have enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.